In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Christ is risen.
Jesus.
The gospel reading assigned for today, we actually heard partially exactly a week ago. At the Agape Vespers last Sunday, and it is practiced in this parish that this gospel on Agape Vesper is being read in many languages as possible. And the reason for that is that it pronounces the resurrection of Christ to the world. So we proclaim the resurrection in as many languages as we can. And the account of it is Christ appears to his disciples, so Christ appears to us too. But today, the gospel actually goes a little bit further. And there are several things that we should note about this account that should be pointed out because they are very easily overlooked, at least at first glance. So first, Christ appears in a miraculous way because he says he goes through shut doors. And that is something that we don't hear in the gospel that he did before the resurrection. But at the same time, he is actually recognizable to his disciples as the Jesus Christ they know. And how was that being done? Because he bears the wounds of his passions, and he points them out. And he shows it to his disciples, his hands and his side. So they see the wounds, and they immediately recognize him as, and glad when they saw the Lord. That Jesus appears by going through shut doors is apparently so important that the church decided to actually incorporate it as a theme in our troparh of today. And I read this again to you if you missed that. It says, "While the tomb was sealed, thou, O life, didst shine forth from the grave, O Christ God. And while the doors were shut, thou didst come unto the disciples, O resurrection of all, renewing through them an upright spirit in us according to thy great mercy." So you see the parallel between the shut tomb and the shut doors, and that the church actually points this out. But why were the disciples not putting this off just as an apparition, but recognized him as Lord? Well, they remembered what the women told them beforehand. The women already told him that the tomb is empty and Christ is risen. So there was already faith ingrained in them, and it didn't take as much that they actually started believing it. The wounds of the passion were only a visible recognition of that what the grain was already there. But in the group of these disciples on the first day, on the first evening, there was one disciple missing, and that was Thomas. And today's gospel focuses actually on St. Thomas. It goes a little bit further than what we actually read at Agape Festival. And hence we call this Sunday Thomas Sunday, because that is what we ponder about today. When the disciples, after Christ left again, and when they saw Thomas, when they told him about that account, well, what did he do? He did not believe. He doubted. And he reacted in a way that is actually very familiar to us. "Unless I see in his hands the print of the nails and put my finger into the print of the nails and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." He needed hard evidence. Just the word of his brethren was not enough. Today's gospel reading is now telling us about the second account of Jesus coming to the disciples 8 days later. And at this time, Thomas is with them. He greets them again with, "Peace be unto you." And allow to stop therefore 1 second. This greeting is actually a fulfilling of a promise that Jesus made before his crucifixion. In John 14, verse 27, he says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." So this is a peace that is not like a worldly peace that we know. If you're praying for the world peace, that is actually not really what is being meant by peace be with you. It is an inner peace. It is a calm that is being restored on them. And you have to remember that the disciples at this point were really afraid. They had to be literally be afraid of the Jews right now to be persecuted. They were hiding. So the Lord being bestowing that inner peace on them was a reassurance. And we still do that. And we still bestow this inner peace on this. The priest in the service, in many services, I would say actually in any service that we have, at some point, at least once, will turn around and say, "Peace be unto all." And that is exactly that. And we do this normally before a time where we need calm, where we should be concentrated, where we should be focused. And then these pieces being bestowed unto us. That enough for the excursion. Going back to Christ and Thomas, after Christ comes, he actually does not even wait for Thomas saying anything. He says, and Christ addresses Thomas directly and tells him to reach his finger and look at his hands and to put his hand in the Lord's side. But again, note, Thomas didn't say anything at this point. So the Lord already knew about this. The Lord knew about the doubts that Thomas had. And the church fathers actually point out that when Christ voiced his doubts to his brethren, to the other disciples, when they told him about it, that Christ was invisible present already. So he was there. So Thomas follows the instruction of Jesus, and then he does something remarkable. He attests that Jesus is Lord and God. The doubt, the unbelief of Thomas is immediately turned into one of the greatest confessions. And you could actually say this is the first confession after the resurrection that attests that Jesus Christ is Lord and God. No other disciple at that point did that. At least not what is written in the gospel that we know about. Well, because of the unbelief of Thomas, there is a tendency that Thomas is being criticized. It's very easily done. How can a disciple of the Lord not believe his brother? Why does he need almost scientific proof that the Lord is risen? Why does he need hard evidence? Well, I would say that because exactly of these little imperfections, these disciples are much closer to us than if they would be perfect. Because they resemble us, they give us an example how actually to deal with this. And also remember, Thomas was not the only one who did something awful. At Holy Friday, Peter denied Christ 3 times. So he was not the only disciple that had issues. Today, Thomas was an unbeliever first. However, as soon as he had the requested proof, he turned and confessed Christ. And not only as the Christ, as they all knew it, he confessed him as Lord and God. In today's world, we are asked many times to prove our faith. And we should prove them to others. Someone is coming to us and they said, "How can you prove what you actually believe in?" But we are not able to deliver such proof. There is no scientific proof. Well, if you point to the miracles that are out there, like weeping icons, miraculous healing icons, the holy fire in Jerusalem even, you can point to all these miracles. But in the end, these miracles are actually only meaningful for the people that already believe. They will not convince normally an unbeliever to believe. You have to have an open, and you have to have your heart open and softened to find these miracles useful for you as an encouragement. Otherwise, you will come up with any kind of explanation of these miracles. So one lesson from Thomas that we can learn is that we can have our doubts sometimes. And we will hit this dry spot in our spiritual life where we're doubting, where they say, what is this for? I don't feel anything. That is a very common thing that you will hear. But first of all, let me say, our faith is not about feeling. It's not about emotion. But if you hit this dry spot, if you have entered this desert, and I can tell you, if you're looking at the life of the saints, you will find many of saints reporting about this living in a desert and not having this dry spiritual life. Well, what is important then, that you're persistent, that you actually do exactly the opposite of that what you're inclined to do, to give up. You, as a matter of fact, you should at least be persistent, continue what you're doing, to continue praying, continue going to church, if not even do just the opposite, increasing your prayer life, going more to church, exactly when that happens. Because I believe that Thomas would not have believed and confessed if he would have not this grain of faith in him, but it needed a spark. And that is sometimes what we need in our spiritual life, that we need this spark to re-inflame that. And then to the miracles, one other thing too, and that at the end of towards the end of the gospel, it says, "Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Well, we are in a state. The disciples had such, so to speak, kind of a luxurious environment. They had Christ Himself there; they could see this. We see the gospel, and so let's say we are not granted to see one miracle in our life, and let me correct this, you actually can see a miracle every Sunday happening when you're coming to church. The Eucharist is certainly a miracle when the bread and wine that we are offering in a short time becomes the real body and blood of Jesus Christ. That is a miracle. You do not have to look, and this is actually the greatest miracle. You don't have to look to streaming icons and all that. Nothing wrong with them, absolutely not. But the greatest miracle that you have is happening right here, every Sunday, every time when we celebrate the Divine Liturgy. So our faith is not really based on miracles. Our faith is based on Jesus Christ alone. And if we are persistent and steady in our belief, then if we then witness a miracle besides the Eucharist, if we then witness in an emergency stream icon, when we then being graced to witness a healing, or are being graced to travel to Jerusalem and see the holy fire, then the only thing that we should do is to confess like Thomas, "My Lord and my God." In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Christ is risen.
He is risen.